your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, welcome to those of you who get the three-day weekend. Oh, I just thought some dirty thoughts about you because I'll be at work tomorrow like I always am. But nonetheless, please enjoy your Sunday where you don't have to go to work tomorrow. And I'll continue to think mean, evil thoughts and not say them on air. This is the last Sunday of May 2008. Did anybody else believe that we would be so far into 2000s? It seems like I remember, and I make myself feel old, but when we were all worried about what was going to happen at midnight on 1999 and how the world was going to collapse because of poor computer programming. But that's it. We are on the last Sunday, May 25th, 2008. And because it's 2008, that means it is an upcoming election year. That's our conversation today. Presidential hopefuls and national politics here. We have the community folks in the studio today. Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to those folks listening on Lovingston's 94.7 and some friends of mine from the Lovingston SPCA, the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center, who I believe are in Waynesboro today trying to get some pets adopted. So stop on by, and I can never remember whether it's the Pet Smart or the Pet Forum, and I know that I'm going to mess that up. But feel free to stop by. It's the one on 360 in Waynesboro, and a couple of the folks are there today. All right, presidential hopefuls. Feel free to write down the number. Stretch out the fingers. You don't want to pull a muscle as we go through the hour when you call in. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. In the room today, Thalia Miller. Thalia, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming in. As we continue with the ladies first, Bonnie Burns. Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, Rick.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
We'll give a little explanation of why these folks were selected, aside from the fact that they were the people poorly making poor decisions and deciding to come in anyway. And Jim Kroll. Jim, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Now, Thalia?
Yes, sir.
Do you mind sharing your age range with us?
By the way, I don't mind. I'm 87 years old.
87 years old. Still active, still driving.
Still driving.
Playing golf.
Playing a little golf.
Swimming.
Water aerobics 3 times a week.
There you go. How many kids and grandchildren?
Two children, no grandchildren, sadly enough.
By the way, I did not ask anyone their political sides before inviting them on. So if they're all on one side, all on the other side, or a mix, so be it, and callers will have to help us throughout the hour. Bonnie Burns, I specifically asked to come in, married.
Married, yes.
And 3 children, all 6 or younger.
Correct. 3, 4, and 6.
And so you're using the hour as an escape.
Exactly. This is delightful.
The hour is not over, dear. Jim Kroll. Jim, how are you?
I'm fine, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you are married?
Married, 2 children. Work primarily up in Washington, D.C.
A little louder, please.
I work primarily up in Washington, D.C., but I live down in Charleston.
So you commute?
I commute.
Children?
2.
Dear goodness. All right. So we have parents. We have Thalia representing sort of the
older age group.
AARP age group. Bonnie, a mother of youngsters. Jim is a male who commutes on a regular basis. And off we go. Presidential hopefuls and national politics is the topic for the day. Don't forget, 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. All right, toss out the easy initial question. Should Hillary Clinton drop out? By the way, I'm assuming that all listeners are somewhat caught up in the current events. So I'm not going to explain every single question. Should Thalia, start us off.
Well, I personally think she should drop out, but I don't think she's going to until after June.
And why do you think that she should?
Because she's obviously not going to make it. And I don't know what she's angling for. You know, the press around and all the talk shows seem to think that she wants something out of the longevity of her appeal to stay in the race. And I don't have any idea whether that's the reason or not. A lot of people seem to think she wants the vice presidency, but I doubt that will ever happen.
Jim?
Yes.
Your thought on that? I mean, should she stay in, drop out, and if she's, why is she still in if, as Thalia says, and most people say, she's, her chances of winning are slim?
Yeah, I think mathematically she is, has been eliminated. But, you know, she's playing to a different constituency right now, and I think she is setting herself up for 2012 for a run at the presidency.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah. Yes, I really do. That she can prove that she has the staying power and can sustain.
All right, you're going to have to talk louder.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Get closer.
To How's that?
Remember, lessen your aura. The microphone will not hurt.
Yeah, so I think for the good of the party, it would be incumbent upon her to move on.
But if she's playing for 2012, doesn't that mean that she's assuming or has some hope that Obama loses the general election?
Yeah, I personally believe she feels that she is the stronger candidate to beat John McCain. I'm not sure I agree with her, but I think that's the strategy.
Bonnie, your take on it? I mean,
I think mathematically, I agree with Jim that she's, I think it's over. She probably should drop out. There's a, I'm thinking Ted Kennedy ran against Carter up until the convention, didn't he? When they, yep. In 1980, when they were in New York. And a lot of people think that's part of the reason Carter was unsuccessful. And then there was Reagan. Reagan ran against Gerald Ford up until they were in at the convention in Kansas City in 76. And, I mean, ultimately, Carter and Ford came away with the nomination, but a lot of people think they were weakened because of the fight up to and including the conventions. So
do all three of you think that stepping back is one thing? Jim, you mentioned setting herself up for 2012 as her reason for continuing. Do all three of you think that every day that she remains in the race is hurting Barack Obama because of finances, money raised, the fact that she has to say, she doesn't have to, but there are negative things being said from her camp at him, and so in that sense, she's just providing more material for the Republicans?
I agree with that, the last statement. I think that she is staying in for her own reasons, and I think she's staying in there to hurt Obama. But I also do not believe that she has, and I don't agree with our other panelists here, that she's got 2012 in mind. I think she wants something more than that, and I think maybe she wants, if not the vice presidency, she's got a strong record. She can go to the Senate and be powerful. She can be a lot of things that if she hangs in there and people respect her and she's a woman, she might be the first attorney general, any number of things. I don't think she's staying in any reason except to hurt Obama.
There have been certainly lots of conversation about the possibility of Obama and Clinton running as a ticket. And almost everyone that you read about in the paper, all the specialists, have said, oh, that'll never happen. So why would she, you know, I mean, Bonnie, why is she hanging out here?
That's a good question. In my mind, if the
is Attorney
those
General
two candidates
an issue
were,
that she's not going to take the vice presidential candidacy? Is she?
I mean, I'm not sure that I agree with the Attorney General issue, just because there's not a lot of staying power in that position, at least in recent history. You know, it's the Senate, on the other hand, is a place for her to really get some things done. She could be the senator from New York for the next 35 years if she wants to, and she can certainly accomplish a lot there. I'm not entirely sure she could accomplish the same things as vice president or attorney general.
All right, we do have a call from someone else named Bonnie. Caller, how are you?
Fine.
Comment, question?
No, the comment is, I think, whether or not we want to see Hillary as president, Hillary is going to stay in the race until the process is complete so that everyone has the chance to vote. And, you know, Florida and the Republican Party will have to answer to the karma that they released when they changed their primary. And Obama will have to face the music with the Michigan primary for not putting his name on the ballot. So the politicians are at full tilt boogie. It's a great race.
All right. Thanks for calling. All right. So, Thalia, take that as an issue, the comment that the caller just made. I mean, is that... Do you think that that's exactly what she's doing, is just staying in there because that's... It sounded to me like what the caller was saying was, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. This is how it should always play out. Things have changed in the last several election years, where we have had candidates back out earlier and earlier to leave just one, and there's nothing wrong with us going back to the old days where you played it all the way out to the convention. Hold on. I'm losing my touch early. Go ahead.
I think probably she will stay on. I sort of personally wish she'd get out, but I think you're quite right and that the caller was right. She wants to stay on and see how popular she really
is, whether she
makes it or not.
I mean, you have a personal thought, and the four of us have a personal thought. Caller, hang on. Is there, to look at it from the caller's point of view, of there's nothing wrong with going all the way to running the race all the way to the finish line?
Well, unless McCain gets an advantage, then that would be bad.
All right, let's take this call from Scott in Belmont. Hey, Scott.
Hey, one brief comment. I'm not sure the analogy is really apt. It's not a foot race. It's, in fact, the whole process has been set up all along so that it intends to choose a candidate before the convention. That's sort of the worst case scenario, is to reach a convention without a chosen candidate. So I'm not sure that's really the right analogy. But I guess I have my question for the panel or you is, it's fun and easy to speculate about what Senator Clinton wants, but what about the things, the reasons for staying in that her camp has espoused in terms of, you know, she has more popular vote, and a couple other reasons she's given. Any comments on those?
All right. Thanks, man. We'll let the panel get on that. Thanks for the call.
That's a really tough issue to
and
make.
And she wouldn't come on the show today to talk about that.
That she has the popular vote. I think that's a misnomer. You know, if you're going to count Florida and Michigan, which, you know, all were together at the beginning of the primaries, that they were not going to run in those states, then it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, if you hear the paper rattling in the background, I have an article from a Friday newspaper called The Numbers Game, and what this has is check marks by each candidate depending on where things are now. They have Obama winning the race based on superdelegates. They have the number of superdelegates alone. They have Obama ahead in that. Popular vote without Florida or Michigan, they have Obama winning by about, and I'm doing this math quickly in my head, 450,000 votes. With Florida alone amongst the popular vote, they have Obama winning by about a little more than 200,000 votes. And with Florida and Michigan, they have Hillary Clinton winning the general popular vote by about 400,000 votes. But then again, with Michigan, you have to remember that Barack Obama didn't even have his name on the ballot. That was his choice once the penalty was put up against the state of Michigan. Jim?
Well, I mean, that's that's the whole thing. Hillary had stated that she was going to remove her name from the ballot also, but did not. I mean, the rules are the rules. If, you know, I can't imagine if the shoe was on the other foot that the Clinton camp would honor a request to have those delegates seated. I just don't see it. It's disingenuous.
Bonnie, you seem obviously very historically inclined here. Have there been similar circumstances in some of the previous primary races that you're aware of, and what might have been the outcome and such?
I'm not aware of any, but I'm also not a historical expert by any means. No, none that I can think of. None that would have affected the outcome in the way that at least Hillary suggests that.
Your thought on whether? Give me your thought on whether or not the delegates should be seated, and if so, is there a fair way to do it that you can mention?
No, I'm not. I would have to think about that one.
Carl Levin has put forth a model that, at least in Michigan, is to split the vote and split the difference of the vote, which would give, I guess, 59 to Obama and 69 to Clinton. Again, I'm not too sure that's valid because of the original rules.
All right, 11:18 here on the Wake Up Call to talk about current politics, presidential hopefuls, presidential primary. We're upcoming on a general population, popular vote, and so that's who we have in the room today. No particular specialists, just folks of interest in this year's issues. Thalia Miller, Jim Kroll, Bonnie Burns. Feel free to dial up, make your call, make your comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks is the toll-free number. Let me tell you, the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs 75 to 80. Clear tonight, lows 50 to 55. Sunny tomorrow, highs 80 to 85 and the upper 80s in Richmond on Memorial Day. Right now, it's pretty much sunny across the listening area. 66 in the Valley, 67 in Lynchburg, 72 in Richmond. All that asphalt. 66 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, back in action with our topic today, presidential hopefuls and the national politics. Thalia Miller, Bonnie Burns, Jim Kroll here in the studio. Feel free to participate by dialing up the phone. Michael's out there. He'll pass you through. Let's step away from Hillary Clinton staying or going for a few minutes. Thalia, toss this right out at you. You said you were 87 years old, correct?
Yes.
Is Jim McCain's age too much?
No.
He's 71?
No.
I'm
not a McCain 72? Supporter, but I don't think 71 or 2 is too old.
Bonnie, wouldn't he be the oldest president elected on his first term?
I think that's correct, yeah. I think
Reagan's surpass that age, but not
in office. Right. That's right. Yeah, I think that's right.
Jim, your thoughts? Is the age an issue? Because it's certainly going to become a topic during the upcoming election time period, which appears now it's going to be September, October.
Yeah, I have a different. I mean, you look at the age. I don't think it's an issue. You look at the people that surround the candidate or the president himself, and I think you can determine how that administration is going to work. So the age really doesn't impact it, I think.
Does
it makes his choice of a vice presidential candidate much more important?
Does it affect the vice presidential choice? I mean, if regardless of who anybody may vote for, and that's really not my interest during the hour, you know, assuming that you are considering McCain, is his vice presidential choice someone that you would say, oh, well, his vice presidential selection is 55, so let's, you know, worry about, you know, okay, that's cool. His vice presidential choice is 67? Maybe not. Or is anyone going to approach it that way? Thalia, you already said it wouldn't bother you at all. Bonnie?
I'm not so sure that I would be as focused on the age of the vice presidential candidate. It'd be more about who he was and what his platform was and how he felt about certain issues, whether he was more or less conservative than the presidential candidate.
Are there concerns about having a, you know, we've talked about age, ageism, but is there sexism or racism that we need to be concerned about in this vote? Are there special concerns that anyone might have about having a female president or an African-American president?
I think it's going to enter the political discussion, and it's certainly, I feel that in some way, but don't ask me how, it's going to affect the election.
In a positive way, because we break through the barriers, or in a negative way, because It causes a big mess of discussion that could be had in a much more positive manner.
Well, I'm hoping that it'll be in a positive way and that people are just thrilled to have a woman and a black man running for president. And it's hard to say how it'll play up when they get started against McCain and whoever gets the nomination. Get started against McCain. Somebody's going to bring it up, race or I think it is, if in almost unspoken in a way, people don't want to be considered anti-racist, but it's going to enter.
Well, I think Hillary has already brought it to the table, and Bill Clinton, you know, with his comments after the Carolina primary, you know, downplaying the win, and Hillary. Most recently with her statements about who she attracts, hardworking men, white Americans. She's already thrown it into on the table.
And she's not the only one, though. I mean, it's easy to pick on her because she is, I guess, the center of attention with that. But the media has done a wonderful job. I mean, if you watch Jon Stewart and The Daily Show, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, but it was so disturbing to go into, and granted, anybody could do this, and anyone could, you know, pick through 5,000, you know, commentaries that are made, but to pick three of the saddest, scariest comments about which were effectively racist, or at least religious concern, I think one of the quotes from someone was about, don't trust those Muslims. Oh my gosh. So it is out there, and it's not just Hillary or Bill Clinton making note of it.
Yeah, I guess the point that I was trying to make is that within the Democratic Party, the issue has been raised when, you know, at a critical time, when you know, Obama had his pastor, you know, saying crazy stuff, I don't see where it was relevant.
That's a good point to jump into. 11:25 on the wake-up call as we talk about national politics and presidential hopefuls. You can participate as well. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS with Jim and Bonnie and Thalia here in the room today. Does the person or the organization that backs a candidate have any effect on your thought process as to who you might vote for? Because Barack Obama's minister certainly was in the news recently. John McCain said he didn't want to accept the minister Hagee's backing. Does that have any effect on you?
Has none on me. But I mean, when I was listening to it, I was disturbed about it because the pastor Wright was just unbelievable, and it had a negative approach, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it has an effect. I think any kind of extreme behavior really doesn't have a place at the political table right now.
Bonnie, I mean, you know, you've got three kids that you're trying to raise in a an atmosphere that changes on a regular basis. Do you think about that? Because someone else is supporting this presidential candidate, about what might, you know, the background that may be associated with that, or what might come from that?
No, I can't say that it really affects my feeling about the candidate one way or the other. I mean, I think the interesting sort of historic, like looking back on this, you know, years from now, what's interesting about one of the presidential candidates now is that he's an African American that I think a lot of people from different races can get behind, and that's pretty unique up to this point, and that it's sort of an opportunity that we shouldn't take lightly, because unfortunately it doesn't happen that often. I mean, I'm thinking about sort of Al Sharpton and, you know, Jesse Jackson, and that we consider them sort of rebels in the party, and, you know, didn't
right. The focus on was that they were black.
Right. Exactly.
Even if they might have been, you might have considered them strong candidates or not. The focus was on they were black, and they were trying to provide more power and authority to the blacks.
Right. And I think in a way, sadly, I don't know that we're socially as a general population sort of beyond that. I'm not suggesting that we've grown that much in the way we feel about race and politics since then, but I guess my point is that we have a unique situation here where there is an African American that people from all races can get behind, and that doesn't come along very often,
right,
unfortunately.
Let's take a call. We have Gene from Madison Heights. Hey, Gene.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
I wanted to say a couple things. One, I think people significantly underestimate the Clintons' hunger for power. They will sacrifice the White House and the entire party if they have to for the retention and escalation of their own personal gain. And having said that, to have people just go on and vote for Hillary because she's a woman, or black people vote for Obama just because he's black, is the exact form of racism that we've been telling our children was wrong, you know, in bigotry for 50 years. To just vote for them because they're one or the other is the same as not voting for them because they're one or the other. And I just think it's ironic how we allow that type of hypocrisy on one side of the aisle but not the other. If this were a white male and we were talking about has whiteness 24/7, you would never hear the end of it. Everyone would be abundantly offended, and they'd have their self all in an uproar, and it would be, you know, just an insult to the American thought process that we haven't come any farther. But it's completely okay to give this man a pass or to vote for him because of his blackness. I won't engage in that because I think it's insulting to do so. And the black community, I think, does itself a disservice by participating in this vote for Obama just because he's black. You know, when the Clintons, for years we've been told, you know, Bill Clinton was the first black president. So I have to admit, being a white female who's a conservative, so I'm kind of, you know, none of these dogs hunt for me. I just find myself wondering at the political spectrum, and we seem to have taken a step back for it to be okay to judge people by their gender or the color of their skin as opposed to the content of their character, which is what we've been telling our children for years.
Gene, let me ask you.
I would like to take on that.
Gene, you said that you are a white female conservative. Can I ask who you're going to vote for? Do you mind sharing that?
You know, I'm 33 years old, and I voted in every election since I've been eligible to do so. This year, I probably will hold my nose and vote for McCain because he's strong on the international policy and the foreign affairs and the military. His domestic issues, you know, don't really fall in line with me, but he's far, far better for the country than the other two, who, in my opinion, would be a really large step towards socialism. So if I vote for McCain, it will not be because I'm thrilled about McCain. It will be because, you know, I'm saving my country from the socialist.
All right. Thanks for the call, Gene.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who wants to chat about that? Because I think that the conversation about why you vote for someone and you don't vote for someone, or you shouldn't vote for someone because they're just because they're a woman, or just because he's black, because you know get in trouble for saying you're just voting for someone because he's white or just because he's a male, it has been had, and we can certainly spend a few moments on it here. But I like the end of Gene's conversation about McCain's strength in international affairs, because it's certainly going to be commentary that comes up between now and November, certainly once the Democratic candidate is decided upon, and once we get to the topics rather than the surface level of each individual.
It's interesting. There are two things here. I've been in Washington for 32 years. I've followed McCain through all his travails, the Keating 7, savings and loan crisis. I don't see where he has a huge amount of foreign international experience, foreign affairs.
Aren't people giving him that because he was
a POW?
Right.
If they are, they're making a big mistake. You know, that doesn't qualify for expertise in foreign affairs.
Does anybody know what panels he sits upon?
He sits on the Armed Services Committee.
Okay.
And Veterans Affairs, which he doesn't appear to be very strong in at this point. So, but the other one, I just want to divert a little bit. Last night at dinner, our 19-year-old college student, we were talking about politics, and her remark was that her peers and her friends in college are thrilled with Obama, not because he's a man, not because he's black, but the way that he's conducting the campaign. They have been absolutely turned off by the slash and burn stuff in the past, and that this is the first time that they've seen a guy who's risen above a person, who's risen above the fray to conduct a decent campaign. And, you know, so a little bit concerned about the outcome of this election, that it will disenfranchise or turn a lot of folks off, younger folks off.
Well, I think that the young people coming into this election, from everything that you can hear, is the most wonderful thing in the world. Because if you look back, and I have more years than the rest of you to look back.
Combined.
Rick, that was mean. But at any rate, when I look at the back, I was always been interested in politics. My family was, we always talked about it a lot. But when can you remember when you talk, when I walk and see, my daughter is younger, and I run into some young people, let's say 20 years old, 21, 17, they're just energized about this election, and I think that is wonderful.
979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS if you want to call up and be energized by today's conversation and participate. Comments, quotes, questions, and WNRN Studio. You can IM us something at the AOL IM. Thalia Miller, Jim Kroll, Bonnie Burns here as we talk about the national presidential stuff that's going on. Let's talk about that for a minute and sort of carry this, the excitement that's come out of this. All three candidates seem to be running on change. Now, that's not unusual for the party that's not in power to do so. McCain, as the Republican, assumed Republican candidate, is doing so because the current president's numbers are so low in terms of how people think whether or not he's doing a good job. I'm curious as to what the three of you think. Who would bring the greatest change? Who would bring the fastest change? And can another Republican actually bring change?
Well, I don't feel that the Republican can bring a change. I think it would, of course, depend on if Obama is the elected designation for the Democrats. He's going to have to find a lot of people around him to surround him with wonderful advice and judgment that he can trust, because he's the main advocate for change.
Bonnie, what's your take on this?
Who
brings the greatest change? Who brings the fastest change? And can another Republican actually bring change?
I think it would be difficult for another Republican to bring change. I think that Obama might represent, at least in his discussion of the issues, although he's definitely more of a generalist. If you read sort of what he writes about things, Hillary spells out plans for her plan for Social Security and her plan for health and insurance coverage for, you know, 47 million Americans. I mean, she has plans that aren't necessarily spelled out with him, but I think his rhetoric suggests more change. The difficulty with I think with that is that he doesn't have much of a legislative record, so it's hard to know if he sort of understands the process well enough. And I think the key will be who he surrounds himself with to get from the idea through Congress, because that's of course sort of the key.
Well, at this point anyway, unlike the previous six of the previous 8 years, where there was a Republican president and a Republican legislature, so there was what you decided is what was going to happen. There might actually be change, assuming that a Democratic president takes office, because having power in all areas might actually lead to some things being done, although I think regardless of who you vote for, even if you vote for a Democrat, you can say that they don't get squat done very quickly. It's like working for Tiger Fuel, boys and girls. Nothing gets done fast. So, Jim, what's your take on the change?
I think you have a better opportunity with an Obama candidacy for change, because...
So it's not just rhetoric?
No, I don't see it. Any president-elect faces a formidable, and I've been in D.C. with five of them, a formidable task transitioning and moving initiatives forward. You know, they all get 100 days to push their initiatives through. Having lived through a Clinton administration, a Bush administration, several Republican administrations, I don't see any particular signal that changes are in the offing. I do see with a fellow that's reached out across the aisle and attracted young, middle-aged, hard-working Americans, has an opportunity to if elected. I think the nation is saying we want to move in a different direction. And if it doesn't happen today, the next 4 years are going to be a real issue, internationally as well as domestically.
All right, 11:40 on the wake-up call. As we talk about current politics and the presidential race, feel free to join us, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I know it's a beautiful day, but that doesn't change the fact that important topics of conversation here with Jim Kroll, Bonnie Burns, and Thalia Miller. Let me tell you, the 4-5-Fix folks have been helping us out today with their support, 4-5-Fix.com. If you have a project but not the time, there's a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting, to decks and siding, it's 4-5-Fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, it's The Hook's Summer Guide out, and this year the focus is on summer savings, cutting costs without cutting the fun. The reservoir battle continues. There is an alternative 50-year plan discussed this week. And an upcoming Albemarle High School graduate gets burned for money by an online scam. Still so much to learn. The Hook, operating instructions, open, read, and recycle. And not that you would, but make sure you're not going anywhere, because at noon, Patrick is here for Les Temps Purdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Michael Jackson, no Britney Spears, no Chicago. But Silverchair, Tears for Fears, and Sushi and the Banshees will be around. Plus, requests, always welcome. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back in action here on the Wake Up Call this Sunday, the last Sunday of May 2008. You know, the the Hook, talking about summer savings, I'm curious, with each of the three of you, it's, I think if we had asked a year ago that Iraq and what's going on there would have been the number one topic of conversation for the upcoming election. Does anybody, everybody still agree with that, or have we moved on to the economy as the number one topic far and away? Thalia?
We're moving very close to the economic problem, I think, after this week. But I still think Iraq will play a big, big connection during this election.
So you still would say that the war outranks the economy in terms of voter interest?
Well, it'll depend on the next couple of weeks. I mean, the economic impression that I have is that things are not good, and people may take that more into consideration than they will Iraq as the election looms.
What's your take on it? I mean, you have three kids, six and younger.
I think in my age group, it may at this point be the economy.
And what makes you say
just,
that?
Well, just that this is, you know, strictly sort of playground conversation, but it's things like,
is this,
oh my
between
gosh,
your
my
kids,
grocery
or
bill
is this you and the
a
other
third
mothers
more
out there?
Than it was, you know, myself and other families. My grocery bill is a third more than it was last month. Oh my gosh, I don't know if we can go here because
have you changed,
we can't afford to go
have
there.
Have you changed plans?
Have
I
we
mean, do
changed,
you not eat out as much? Do you do more stay-at-home, rent-the-movie kind of thing?
Or
do you have a trip for the summer that you've canceled?
I can't say that I have personally changed my habits, but I know that there's a lot of chatter about it. And the interesting thing is that I think a lot of it's a function of what the paper and the media covers at any given time, and they do like to talk about gas prices and the economy. In the summer, that seems to be
well. This is
what
the
they
start
like to,
of
right, so,
summertime, right? Memorial Day weekend.
So to the extent that we're influenced by what we read or what someone else tells us is the cover story, then I think it may end up being the economy.
Jim, what's your take on it? You have a daughter in college?
I have a daughter in college. Her demographically, their take is the war in Iraq because it's affecting them directly. A lot of her friends signed up to do their duty. And I think the comment last night is her friend that's a Marine possibly could be heading over to Iraq, is in college. And they're not sure why they're going. You know, the significance, the basis for being there isn't readily, they don't understand it. And I'm not too sure anybody understands it at this point. But I think all of these, the Iraq, the economy, gas prices, I think you have to look at the interrelationships between each of them because the dependencies are there for to see. And I think some of the candidates have made that argument that because of the war, because of our position within the community, the international community, the dollar's gone soft. You know, we've had a significant run on housing because of sham securities being pushed and little regulation. So I think together it you have to look at all of these things, and they can be related to one another.
979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks is the toll-free number. I'd love to hear from you on that question, especially, which is the more important topic, or is there something else besides the war or the economy that that you feel is, if not now, certainly will be the main issue between now and November? I'm curious, just real quick on this, there is the, and I forget what the proper title of it is, but the gas tax vacation, caller, hang on for just a moment, where the, I believe it's 43 cents or something around that, will federal gas tax would be removed from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and there may, it may have already passed the opportunity to do so, but it certainly was of discussion for late April and much of May. McCain and Clinton wanted to take the tax away. Barack Obama said no, that was foolish and would only hurt us in the long run. Jim?
If you go by the economists, it wouldn't have had any impact at all. It may have caught, it may have, might have contributed bad things to the economy. And again, I think if you look at Obama's experience when he was in the House in Illinois, they did that. He voted for it. It didn't have the impact that they were going after. So, you know.
Ladies, Thalia?
I don't feel knowledgeable at all about that particular question.
All right. Bonnie?
Oh, I personally tend to think things like that are Band-Aids, and they don't really address the larger issues of alternative fuel sources, where do we buy our gasoline, things like that.
Caller, we have an anonymous caller. Hey, caller.
Hello.
Hey. Question, comment?
Well, there's a lot in this last little discussion here that came up, and I think there are three really important issues that were mentioned, and that was signing up for the military, refineries, as in gas production, and we haven't had the conversation about arms dealing. I noticed that about a month ago, a guy named Victor Boot was apprehended, I think, in Thailand. He was a major arms dealer. Now, I think that the gas companies and the refineries are all connected into arms dealing. I think that arms dealing works on both sides, and I think that we need to talk about that. Charlie Rangel mentioned the possibility of revisiting the draft. I came from an era when our boys were drafted because of Vietnam, and this is worse, and I think that we have to be very careful about allowing too much rain on whoever becomes a Democrat front runner and how they court arms dealers, like Blackwater, for example.
And, all right, caller, pick a topic. Pick a topic. Pick one of your topics, please.
We all had a lot to discuss right there.
All right, well, I can't let you just rang on.
And as far as...
All right, sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't like to do that. But When you start getting outside and you start picking up tangents of the topic for the day, then that's what I have to do. You're forcing me. Only 10 minutes left, 1150, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I don't like to be the guy who hangs up on people, but obviously she was just paying no attention to the other end of the conversation. Michael, I see the phone is ringing again now. My apologies to that caller. I'm curious, Jim, you mentioned earlier about Obama, or you mentioned about Hillary Clinton having this particular vote of the male working class white. She also has a lot of Hispanic votes. Can Obama get those votes before the general election? Can he win the general election if he does not get those votes? Jim, just start. You brought it up.
Yes. I think if you have a vacuum, and I think we've seen it in times past, in other elections, if it's not your core constituency, but there's such an aversion to the other candidate, then I think you do attract that. I don't think there's a lot of predictions of apathy and voting for the opposite candidate and people not voting. I don't sense that happening.
Ladies, anybody? Bonnie? I mean, can he win the general election without these voters? Can he attract those voters if he wins the Democratic nomination?
I think he probably can. I think what the Democrats are probably going to battle more than anything is everyone's saturation point. In other words, we've been saturated with the two Democratic candidates over the last few months, and we've heard very little from McCain. And regardless of where McCain actually stands on the issues, there's not an aversion to him as there are to some other, potentially other Republican candidates among Democrats. You know, I think he is, regardless of his voting record, he is perceived as fairly moderate. Because of some things that he's done on labor and other issues.
All right, let's take a call. We have John. Hey, John.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Doing well.
Great show.
Thank you, sir.
Question is, there's a historic decision by the California Supreme Court on gay marriage, and gay marriage, as it turned out, was a sort of pivotal issue for Bush in the last election. He was able to mobilize a lot of rural Christian voters, partly around that issue, and just wondering, will John McCain be able to do the same thing, particularly if you're correct that Obama's having trouble with lower-income white males? Perhaps McCain can use that sort of as a wedge issue to try to keep those guys with him. So I'm going to hang up and just listen to what you guys have to say about that.
You know, one of the things that I found, I didn't see it, I didn't watch the clip because I have old low-speed connections to the Internet. But McCain was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and she brought up the thing about how she was getting married and would he walk her down the aisle, and that apparently made for a rather tense moment or so on air. So, I don't know. Do you think, because that was a big issue, John's right. I believe that one of the reasons that Bush won the 2004 election was because he won Ohio, and that was where they managed to do a big push for getting folks out who might not otherwise have voted because of that topic.
I think it was on the ballot. Wasn't there? There were gay marriage issues on ballots.
Actually, 12 states, I believe, and all of them, including Virginia, including Ohio, passed saying gay marriage not allowed. And so they got out a lot of voters for that reason. So, Thalia, what's your take on this? And I ask you because you come from an older voting class.
Well,
is this, you know, something that you've had to deal with throughout life?
I've had a number. I was in the fashion business for a long time. I have a number of gay friends. I have them still. I have nothing against gay marriage. That's why I put it that way.
How do you think that it will it affect the 2008 election as strongly as it did the 2004 election?
No, I don't believe it will.
Jim?
No. Paint at the pump will get the attention as opposed to gay marriage. I mean, the economy is tanked, and if any of the candidates can make that point and show how they're going to recover, these side issues will just be noise, I think.
All right. It is 11:56 here on the wake-up call. Just a moment or so left. If you want to make a call, you can be the last caller of our hour, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg. And let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. They are the source for your outdoor sandals, as well as gear for spring travel, including shorts and duffel bags and very cool sun hats. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. All right, again, just a few moments left. I'm curious. We started the hour talking about Hillary Clinton and whether or not she should back out. Everyone said that whether or not she should, she's certainly, almost certainly not going to win. What does she need to do to make sure that the Democrats win the general election? Somebody called up during the hour and said she doesn't care because it's just the Clinton power thing. But assuming that part of her power, whether you believe that or not, is having a Democratic president, how do the Clintons help Barack Obama win in November?
They get out and stump for him a little bit.
Well, she has had all sorts of trouble raising money. She's had to give her own candidacy two very large loans.
They have to, if she wants to retain all the fame and glory that she's gained with people. Well, many people admire her very much, and she's strong. They'll just have to help whoever the electorate, the election guy is, if it's not her.
Jim, can she get, by helping Barack Obama, can she get those candidates to support him, the ones that we talked about, the lower working class white males who have supported her? Can she say, look, guys, I'm sorry that I'm not on the ballot for you to choose from, but this is the guy who will help you even though you weren't for him earlier?
She has the capacity to do that. And I've been sitting here thinking about the election in 1962, John Kennedy, 1960, Jack Kennedy and the Lyndon Baines Johnson. They were fierce competitors, but you know, he picked up Lyndon Baines Johnson to pick up his support as well as the South's support. So, I haven't completely ruled out Hillary becoming a vice presidential candidate yet.
And Bonnie, finish us up here. Your take on what she needs to do to help.
Oh, I think she it'd be great if they stumped for him in the very states that she carried, a couple she carried rather handily. And the other thing is, you know, she's got a political machine behind her. A lot of the people that are working for her work for
They've done this a few times.
They've done this. And if, you know, gosh, in the best of worlds for Democrats, she would hand off, you know, that machine and some of those folks to Obama, because their knowledge of how these things work is just unmatched.
All right. Thanks to the three of you for coming in, Thalia Miller, Jim Kroll, Bonnie Burns. We will be doing political shows throughout the summer. My goal is to do one in June, one July, August, September, October. May not work out just perfectly. If you'd like to be a person off the street to come in, abstractme@AOL.com. We will have some academic folks and political experts as well on these shows in the future. Enjoy your holiday weekend.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.